don't think there's any Bibles out, but if there are, it's page 967. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that your words through the Bible are still true for us today, thousands of years later. The things that you say, the things that you speak over those centuries, Lord, still have such truth. And I pray today that we would all hear what you're saying to us, how we put this into practice so that our lives are more closely following you. Amen. So, Advent, it's not really a season that we think of very much. Christmas is much more exciting. Whoop, whoop. Obviously, kind of, I'm very excited about Christmas. And I have to temper that excitement in order to actually fully engage with Advent. Because Advent is a really exciting... Welcome, Susie. Come on in. Not going to point out the fact that you're significantly late. But you are so welcome. Sorry, my love. I know, sneaking in, it doesn't work here. Unfortunately, it just doesn't. But you are so very welcome. Advent is that time when actually we set aside... This is really hard for me. I hope you feel the pain of this. We set aside our excitement about Christmas. Because Christmas is joyful and wonderful and we're going to celebrate it. But Advent is that time when we have to actually prepare our hearts and bring ourselves again before God and say, "Lord, I want to celebrate Christmas. I want to celebrate your coming with a clean heart, with pure motives, with sincere faith." And quite often, in amongst the busyness of Christmas and the busyness of doing all of our preparations, of shopping, of getting all the food in, of doing all of those things, we just don't have enough time. And I am the worst person at doing that. But we're reminded today and throughout Advent that the purpose of preparation, the purpose of Advent itself, is to set ourselves and time aside to really engage with what Jesus is calling us to be and to do. And so this passage is one of the significant Advent passages. It's the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophetic word hundreds of years before, that there would come one ahead of the Messiah, someone who would go into the desert and be a voice calling out, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." Matthew goes on to describe how John fulfilled that in the way in which he went into the desert. He wore some very uncomfortable clothes and ate some rather bizarre things. These are not necessarily important. You can look into the theological significance of them if you want to. But what was really important was his message. He called the people of Judea, the people who lived around Jerusalem, but people came from much further afield than that to hear his message. He called them to repent and to be baptized. Now, I don't know about you, but those people who wear sandwich boards or kind of have megaphones in the middle of the street and they're like, repent, the kingdom of God is near, you're going to burn if you don't repent. Those people tend to put me off. But somehow, John the Baptist drew thousands of people into the desert. Now, I don't think he was wearing a sandwich board, although camel hair might have kind of been as rough and as hard as a sandwich board. And I don't think he had a megaphone. They probably weren't invented then. But something about his message stirred in the hearts of the people. And although we know and recognize that what he was saying was about Jesus' first coming, and it was a few years then before Jesus started his work, his ministry, to tell people about God's love and to explain to them all the things that they hadn't understood before. But the same message is true for us today. As we seek to follow Jesus, we believe that he did come and that he lived his life. He taught people. He died on the cross. He went there because of our sin, our rejection, rebellion of God. He died in order to take our sin, the punishment for our sin, the consequences for our sin. And he rose again. And we have hope that we also will be raised again with Christy on the last day. We have that hope. We celebrate that hope at Christmas. Why do we need every year in advance of celebrating those truths to set aside time to come again and hear that message? Repent, be baptized. Not that we need to be baptized every single year. You know, Phil might start that practice. But what we're doing is that sense of come back to God again in repentance and sorrow, and bring ourselves before him, for him to search us, for him to know the things that are not right, helpful, or godly in our lives. And so I simply want to kind of use those three words, make straight paths, to help us this morning engage with what does it look like for us today to do that same coming before God, repenting, confessing, and being cleansed again by him and what he has already done. So first of all, make. The invitation comes from God, but it's up to us how we'll respond. Jesus does not force his way into our hearts. He invites us to open the door, to choose him, to choose his forgiveness, his grace, to accept his love and his peace, to believe and wait on him for healing, for freedom, for hope. People had to choose to go to the desert to see and hear John the Baptist and to allow God to speak to them through him. In the same way, as we seek to make straight paths, the first and foremost thing is that it's our choice. We cannot do anything other than choose to respond to God's invitation. He will not force us. So we choose to bring ourselves before God in openness and honesty. That decision, the decision of our will, points us in the right direction, just as John the Baptist pointed the Jewish people in the right direction. Secondly, straight. John the Baptist told them what they needed to do, repenting, recognizing there were things in their lives, thoughts in their minds, habits, conscious decisions that turned them away from God and away from each other. The Jewish laws were not there because God was a spoilsport. Still today, God is not a killjoy. His laws, his guidance, his instructions, they are all his way of showing us how we can live loving, peaceful, free lives that will be a blessing to us and to others. If we want to be and experience and live in his blessing, to be assured of his love and to allow his love to shape us so that we are most loving to everybody in our community, so that we humanly flourish in the way God has intended us to, so that we grow in spiritual depth, then we choose to come to him and ask him to deal with our lives and the things which have become wonky. The world that we live in, and our life especially in this Western society, is part of a great spiritual battle. Inwardly and outwardly, we are bombarded every day, inwardly by temptations, the things in our hearts, the things in our minds that we really know are not what God would want us to do or to be or to think or to say. And yet somehow they just have power over us and we're drawn into them. Outwardly, what everybody else is doing, doesn't matter how old you are, peer pressure is so significant. Our path to God, or God's path to us, becomes crooked, becomes twisted, becomes difficult to see around the corners, the bends and other things, because we are in this spiritual battle. We in this life therefore find ourselves saying things like, well, a little bit of this bad habit won't hurt anybody. It's not harming anyone. That might be true, but it will take our eyes off God himself. Or perhaps we think, well, it's just for a short time. I won't do it forever. I'll stop if it gets too much in my life. But we don't, because those things get hold of us. And then the more we do them, the harder it is to get away from them. Perhaps some of the things that God says are good in our lives, you say, well, you know, I don't really have time for that. I'll get around to it. I'll come back to that when I've got more time, when other things are not more important. And yet somehow we never get round to them. Small things, big things, uncertain things, terrible things. It doesn't matter what the distractions are. We all turn away from God, away from his instructions about how to live, how to love one another. And our path to God and his path to us changes direction, takes us further away from him, or a more difficult route. The call from John the Baptist and the call from Jesus himself is to make straight paths, to say sorry to God, to recognize the things that we have done or are doing which take us further away from him. And the amazing thing is that when we ask for the forgiveness of God, when we receive the amazing grace that Jesus gives us, much more than we deserve, when we say sorry through our repentance, Jesus makes those paths straight again. He does it. Whatever, however crooked, however twisted or tumultuous the paths have become as we have made them, when we say sorry to God, he makes them straight again. We choose and Jesus works. And then the third word, make straight paths. This is a journey. We are all on a journey in our life. Today is not a destination. Making straight paths is not a destination. Phil has recommitted himself today to following Jesus and his heart's desire to keep straight paths in his life. But, like all of us, he will have good days and bad days. Each time we renew our commitment to Jesus and make choices that lead us closer to him, we move forwards in our journey. But we remain in this battle. We remain on a journey. Some days we will find ourselves walking 2 steps forward and 5 back. Sometimes we will know that actually we're standing still. We haven't moved. But that's okay, because it's a journey. Jesus isn't here to condemn us. He's here to encourage us to walk the journey with us. And so each year we come again to the season of Advent because we're on a path. None of us is perfect yet. Christy comes close. It is true. But we are all simply walking this path with Jesus, attempting to live in the way that he tells us will bring us most peace, most joy, and we'll be able to share most love. We have to keep walking that path. We keep coming to church. We keep praying and praying for one another and being prayed for by one another. We continue to read the Bible so that we have a sat-nav to tell us when our path has gone awry. And we know and trust, we believe, that we can easily get back to the right, straight path again through the grace of Jesus and our willingness to say sorry. But it is a journey. We are on a path. So we want to all commit ourselves. We want to all choose again this Advent to prayerfully bring ourselves before God and allow him to continue speaking so that we, together with him in partnership, might for this year afresh make the path straight for Jesus to come in. Lord, we ask that you would teach us during this Advent season, that you would teach us afresh. You would show us all that you want to deal with in our lives, those things which hinder us in the journey, those things which are obstacles, and those things which simply distract us. But without our full attention on you, we cannot fully be who you've made us to be. And so please help us this week to carve out some time, to choose time with you. And an openness of heart to know what it is you're saying needs to be made a straight path in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, that you do and you will come in as we partner with you in that process. Amen. I wanted to just invite Phil to share a little bit of his testimony, his story, about how God has worked and what's brought him to the decision that today he was going to reaffirm his baptismal vows. I'm just going to hand over to you. You don't really need me to give you questions, Anthony, do you?
No, it's okay. I've got them. Yeah. So yeah, this is a very special day for me. I've made a recommittal of the vows made on my behalf when I was baptised as a baby. This is important to me because now, as an adult, I have an understanding of the deeper meaning of this ceremony. I was brought up in a church, christened as a baby in the local Anglican parish, went to Baptist Sunday school and youth club at the local Evangelical Free Church, but still managed to go through my teens agnostic and later completely rejected the faith as an atheist. But 5 years ago, my faith was ignited by a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit. I was working at Asda, just going about my day, but I felt dragged down by a particular issue, a particular sin in my heart that I felt awful about. I felt unworthy, unforgivable. That day, I prayed my first genuine prayer. Under my breath, I simply prayed, "God help me." And in that moment, he did. I felt a presence wash over me, top to toe. And in that moment, I also felt an overwhelming and unexplainable sense of peace, love, forgiveness. The Spirit had washed over me as a reminder of his presence, as a wake-up call. God had answered my prayer. This was impossible to deny, even with the little faith I had. When I then started to read my Bible, and as I recalled the things taught to me as a child, things began to make sense. We are sinful, but not unforgivable. We have a God who loves us, God who sent his only Son to die for us to be set free from this guilt and condemnation. And about a year and a half ago, I found a church to call home here in Reading when I started going to Greyfriars. I just knew it was the place for me when I worshipped there for the first time. A year later, I also started coming here to New Hope, and I've always felt welcomed into this tight-knit family. And this year for me has been a year of stepping out in faith, seeking God's calling on my life. I left my job at Asda and I've started work as an intern with Shift, a Christian youth and a community charity down in Whitley. Through this, I'm testing my sense of calling to full-time Christian ministry, gaining practical experience along the way. I feel like God wants to use me to help others in their journey of faith, using my journey to faith to help others on theirs. So thank you again to everyone who's been and is still alongside me in this journey. And thank you to everyone who's come along this morning to support me.
David. We're going to pray for Phil. So if anybody would like to come up and just gather around Phil, we're going to pray for all that God is calling him into, what things that have happened already and the way that God has already done that. But let's just pray that there'll be even more that God does. Father, we thank you so much that you love Phil, that you've delighted in him, and that you've raised him up in such a powerful way in the last 5 years especially. And Father God, we particularly ask, as has already been prayed, that you would lead him as he steps out in faith to explore how you might have called him to full-time Christian ministry. Lord, will you show him exactly what the next step is? We recognize that's a process of a journey as well, but Lord, we pray that you would encourage him and fill him again, that Lord, even those things he thinks are not within his capacity right now, he would know that you will fill him by your Holy Spirit so that he can do even more than he could ask or imagine right now. Thank you, Father, in your faithfulness, you will do this. Amen.
And Jesus, we want to thank you for the blessing Phil is to so many of us. We want to thank you for his contribution to our cell group, for all that he's doing in his work in South Reading. And Lord, we just ask that he'll be very conscious of you as a lamp to his feet and a light to his path.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Phil, especially in this world that we live in, where young people don't have role models and cannot confidently take a stand for something good without being ostracized or belittled. We thank you that he's being obedient. We thank you that he has totally placed his faith in you. And we know you won't let him down. Heavenly Father, we ask you to elevate him and take him above and beyond what even his mind can fathom. We thank you that he's a part of this family. We thank you for all the joy that he brings to us and everything that he is trying to achieve. Father, we place in your hands. Amen.
Amen.